Good day, everyone. Welcome to the 23 Podcast, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. Thank you so much for making this part of your day today. My name is Parker Kern here, along with my co-host, my good friend and our pastor, Father Jeff McBeth. Father, it is quite a day today.
Yeah.
It's quite a day. It's a beautiful October day.
I know. It's finally like fall weather.
It is.
Seasonal.
It is. Yes, indeed. And that's a very good thing. I think, especially for my air conditioner at home, it's very good news.
Mm-hmm.
That thing just it works harder than,
yeah,
you know, an army.
I definitely was saving on my filters.
Yeah.
You know, because like there was just all those weeks where like
nothing
you
happened.
Needed neither.
You that
know,
is true.
It's just kind of right the sweet spot, you know, where the house never got too warm or too cold and just can kind of ride it out. And
yeah.
It was great. So, but alas, you know, here we are.
Alas.
But.
Alas, here we are.
That's all right. That's all right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So how are you? You're good?
Yeah, I think good. Yeah, I can't complain.
Rolling through the 10th month of the year.
I know.
I can't believe we're already almost at the, it's just, I remember like last year around this time, I said, oh, it's going to be 2025 soon. And
mm-hmm.
then now it's, now
yeah,
we're
it's the twilight toward, of 2025.
We really are
getting there.
We're on the back end of it. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
And maybe perhaps even when you're not having fun.
That's right. Time flies when you're busy.
Time flies just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know my, I think I've mentioned this before. My grandpa used to say, you know, I put the, it seems like I put the trash out to the curb every day. In like each week feels like a day.
Right.
You know, because
right.
most of us put our trash out on a specific day of
right.
the week. Mine's Monday night, which I think, again, that's another thing. Sometimes we walk through neighborhoods that are like adjacent to ours and people have their trash out on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
What's your day?
Wednesday.
Like Wednesday night you put it out?
Or? No, Tuesday night I put it out.
Yeah, see, I...
Like every month and a half, because I don't
you
go
don't
through a whole lot of
accrue
stuff.
Accrue much trash?
Yeah, so it's literally like every like month,
oh.
like 4 to 5, 6 weeks, oh. you know?
Your neighbors are like, oh, Father Jeff's got some junk again.
He must not have a lot of trash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the recycle bin kind of similarly, because you can put a lot of, you break down boxes and stuff, you can fit a lot in there.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing about this nice little condo development that we live in Bowling Green, is that they don't actually have city trash or recycling. We have NAT. NAT, National oh. something transportation. I don't know. But they do a pretty good job. They're out of Bradner because I looked them up, you know, because I was like, why do we have these things that say NAT, you know? But so what I usually end up doing, which is actually really nice, is Monday nights, my parents, who have city trash and recycling, live fairly close. And so I'll go over and take our recycling. I have a little bucket in the garage that we collect things, you know, bottles, cans, boxes, mm-hmm. whatever. And I'll take those over and dump them into their thing and have a nice, you know, usually nice visit with them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of my weekly catch up. If I don't, of course, you know, I see them usually more than that.
Sure.
But it's nice to just go over and, you know, nowadays, you know, usually Monday night football's on and they've got, you know, dessert ready for me or something
yeah.
like that. And, you know, actually a couple weeks ago during my fun weekend at Parker's where
yes.
I was by myself, I actually watched The Family Dog for a little bit, really, almost all of Monday, and within a 30-minute walk, Roni had moved her bowels 3 times.
Whoa.
So that was a lot of, and I only had one bag.
Dang.
So I luckily, as luck would have it, my dad was walking at the park where I was headed. He was just like there, like magic. Like I didn't text him or anything. He was just magically walking around the corner, and I was like, "Oh, hey!" And then she started to move
mm-hmm.
her bowels again, and
mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh goodness, I don't have a bag for this." And you know, luckily he was there, so he could kind of take the dog, you know, and sort of mark where the movement,
plant a flag, mm-hmm.
where that was, so I could. Mm-hmm. So I had to run up to the front of the park and grab. They have extra
oh, yeah.
bags for
mm-hmm.
people with dogs, which is nice,
right?
And then she did it again. So
yeah.
I said, "You're really clean now." She
That's
was in
right.
a great mood after
I
that.
Know.
But it turned out that she actually that particular Monday, I invited myself, as I alluded to on the podcast, I invited myself to my parents' house for dinner, which was delicious. Had Mrs. Schwanke.
Yes, I was
as
wondering.
As a follow-up to that, we had Mrs. Schwanke, so it was fantastic, the casserole.
Cheers to her, yes.
Cheers to Mrs. Schwanke. But Roni joined us because my brother-in-law was supposed to pick her up, and timing was off. And so I said, well, can Roni come? So they had the best time. She had the best time. My dad was feeding her cookies and, you know, it, well, a cookie, not like a whole thing. But she
unrelated to the bowel issues, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there, she does this thing also where she goes under the bed. And so, like, there's usually, like, if Marissa's there, she'll just drag her out. But I am a little bit nicer than that. So what I do is I just go in and I shake the whipped cream because she likes what they call pup cups. So, like, she knows, like, for example, they love Starbucks. So they take her to Starbucks a lot to get whipped cream. And they give you a free thing of, you know, the little cup of whipped cream, and then the dog eats it, and it's cute, and it's great. But you also can give her pup cups at home through the whipped cream, you know, the little squirt container.
Ready Whip.
Yeah, Ready. Well, we buy the Kroger brand. We can't afford the Ready Whip. It's, well, but, well, we can, but it's just like, why would you? It's
right,
the
if
same
it's whipped
thing.
Cream.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So I actually opened a fresh one for her, and so she watched me, like, pull the little, you know, the little plastic tab, and it goes all the way around. There's a lot of sound effects today I'm making. And then you pull
it's
it off.
It's like old-fashioned radio.
Yeah. 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 And then, and then she just ate it right up. So
there's a storm.
And then there. So now it's becoming an ASMR video.
Yes.
So you watch ASMR at all?
I actually don't know what that is. I was just
really?
I was just being agreeable.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's a fault of mine.
I'll go back to that. But anyways, I got her out from under the bed by shaking the whipped cream, and she knew exactly what it was. So she just was like, at that point, she was looking all around, like, where do I go? How do I get out of here? So she came back out, and then I got her to go to the parents. ASMR is, like, I don't know what the...
What it stands for?
Yeah. It's like ASMR. ASMR. Okay. Sensory... Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Wow.
So it's basically like, you know, sometimes how if you hear like a noise, it kind of like tickles your spine. That's ASMR. Your body's having an autonomous sensory meridian response.
Wow.
So there's people out there that make these ASMR videos, which are like,
hello. Hi. Like on purpose?
Yeah, they do that on purpose.
Man.
It actually helped me sleep in grad school.
Huh.
Like they do, they'll like take their phone and, you know, women with long nails will be like.
That helps you sleep.
Well, it's just like it tickles the part of your, it tickles the part of your spine that it sort of relaxes you.
Huh.
It's very weird.
That sounds creepy.
My wife had the same reaction, but I was like, it works, trust me.
Huh.
But even something like a video of like a fireplace crackling, like just really.
Yeah.
Because it kind of.
That would seem different than like.
Yeah. No, it is weird because you like pull up to a video and there's like a guy there and he's like whispering or he's like, hey, welcome back to my channel. It's and then, you know, there's I know it's a little niche, but
yeah.
I'm sorry. I can feel the respect that I'm losing.
No, I'm not. There's no respect loss. I'm just
you were just gonna say there's no respect, period.
No. You know, you do you, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not as big into it anymore, but I used to be quite a fan. And it's nothing like weird. It's just sort of like people tapping on a book and for some reason that, you know, or like again. I mean, listeners.
Right.
Doesn't that soothe you? Father's not into
it's not soothing me.
Okay. That's fine.
But
fine.
Whatever.
It's all good.
We all got our stuff.
You know, I've got all sorts of, you know, you've heard a lot about my misadventures and Zabu and everybody. You know, I mean, everything.
We all.
You've got it all, man.
We all do life differently.
You've got it all.
Yeah.
You've built a little differently, I guess. So.
That's right. That's right.
Well, after that discourse, how about we get into the important things of life, scripture.
Yeah.
The thing that keeps us alive, the word that
the spirit
keeps
life.
Us alive. I know usually at this point we have parish announcements. We don't really have a ton for the folks this week.
Yeah, it's kind of, we're all just, everything just going along, which is amazing.
How we,
and we praise God for, we praise God for that, you know?
Yes, sir.
But I think no big announcements this week that I can think of.
All right.
So, yeah. All right, this is Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. This is great. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
It was great.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. This is a great parable, right? Just, I mean, in the Gospels, you know, the reversals that, you know, so often happen. And of course, you know, the Pharisees, you know, were the ones that thought they had it all together. And they convinced a lot of people that they were the ones that had it all together. And so that would have been maybe a little shocking.
Yeah.
That the Pharisee didn't go home justified, like in a right relationship with, right. with God and right orientation to God, because they were thought they were the ones who had it all together, you know, versus the tax collector, you know, who was, you know, not only collecting taxes for the enemy, you know, Romans that were occupying their country, but, you know, probably taking off the top for themselves and all this kind of stuff. And so, he had a lot to be sorry for.
Oh yeah.
But right is it says in the, one of the Psalms, a heart contrite and humble to God you will not spurn. You know, so he recognized who he was. You know, that he needed God and His mercy. And as opposed to, you know, the Pharisee, I love it. He spoke this prayer to himself. So it's not even really a prayer,
yeah,
in a sense, you know, it's just like self-congratulations, you know, about all the good things that he does, you know,
which I think in some form is okay, but it's not when you're, I mean, again, the thing that I look at with this is like the danger of sort of comparison. Like if we're sitting in church or if we're sitting at a restaurant, if we're sitting at a park and we're looking at somebody and going, oh, well, you know, sorry for them. They don't have it, you know, as good as I do, or, you know, I'm a better person than they are, right? Or, you know, I wouldn't have done that way. I would have done it this way. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody cares. Like, move on with your life, you know? I mean, anybody can have an internal monologue with themselves, and most people do, but, you know, but like you said, when he's just sort of like, well, he's doing this, and I'm not doing this, and I'm paying taxes on everything, and, you know, it's like, it's great. I guess that's my making fun of the Pharisee voice today.
But he was right. He was doing good things.
He was doing good stuff, but it's like,
but it was the source of pride. Like,
yeah.
Not out of like love for God and neighbor.
Yeah. It was more like, I'm doing this better than him, and I'm, you know, it's almost like he was like wanting God to like come down and be like, thank you for doing the right thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, in some ways.
Got a lot of voices today, man.
This is something. This is something.
I'm in rare form.
Yeah. You know, it sort of reminded me of you and what they teach in like the Encounter, you know, school about the performance based mentality. Like he's thinking he's like earning this justification for all the good things that he's doing. When in reality that,
He's like checking levels off of his game or
and,
whatever.
And like you said, the comparison, and even at the beginning, Jesus even says, he addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else.
Right.
You know? But, you know, to have that humility to say, like, I'm still a work in progress, and I still have a ways to go, and there's things that I, you know, just need to keep working on. And that's, that, you know, that's the better approach to prayer than to say, God, I'm just so great.
I'm your number one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Humility sort of is freeing in a way. I mean, it's not necessarily self-hate, but
right.
I mean, it's knowing who we are, who God is, and, you know, how we see ourselves. And I mean, I'm guessing God sees us as perfect because we're made in His image and likeness, but He also acknowledges the fact that we're not perfect, right? He sees the potential. He sees like the finished, like I guess you could say like final form. Like he sees us in the kingdom, like all glorious and bright and sitting at his right hand and everything. But us here sort of as our little mere mortal selves, he's like, yeah, you're destined for greatness, but you know, you gotta understand that there's, I guess, a process to this. But it is sort of, you know, humility is a very good thing. And it's something that not everybody does great. But I think it's, again, a good reminder for all of us. No matter where we are in life, no matter what we have, what we do, sort of our accomplishments. Right, I always get in debates. I was just in one a couple weeks ago with, you know, my best friend Tyler about, you know, we were debating, oh, who's the greatest quarterback of all time in the NFL? And of course, we're listing achievements and we're listing accolades, and these kind of discussions happen all the time, usually over a cold beer, and you know, but it's really meaningless, you know, because again, we're comparing, you know, quarterbacks, and it's like, but does this have any merit to, like, when we leave, or are we going to be better than, you know, when we just, you know, stood there and shouted at each other, like, well, I think Tom Brady's better. I think Peyton Manning's better. That's great. But, you know, I guess for us, it's like the same sort of deal. Like, we can compare ourselves to other people all we want, whether it's in our head or, you know, if we say to our friend or our spouse or, our, you know, our relative, like, well, this person's kind of, you know, you see what they're doing? It doesn't mean anything until we, you know, we kind of humble ourselves and understand that it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, and I, you know, especially if we have that comparison in which we're rating ourselves higher than the other person.
Yeah, that's
like he's doing here. Like, then it sort of lets ourselves off the hook for continuing to grow.
Yeah,
you're like, well, I'm already way better than that person, and
that's not even true. That's just
right.
Sort of your
exactly.
You're checking boxes, and again, you're sort of doing it in a vacuum. Like, oh yeah, well, I'm better because X, Y, and Z. But again, maybe that person's better at A, B, and C, but you're just looking at it in a vacuum of saying, oh, well, because I do these things better, then I'm automatically greater than this person. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, you can't compare. I say this a lot about like guitarists, right? Because I'm a guitarist. I don't know if I'm a good one, but I play guitar. And there's a lot of great guitarists out there for the history of the world, right? The history of music, right? Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eddie Van Halen, all, you know, all titans. I mean, there's so many to list. But I struggle to compare them. I struggle to rank them. Right? I have favorites that I listen to.
Sure.
And you probably, as a guitarist and musician as well, probably have your favorites. But like, if I'm going to go pound for pound and say like, well, I think Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan are the greatest, that's probably a common statement by a lot of people. Like, a lot of people probably say, this guy's the greatest. But it's tough to compare them because they have different styles. They play differently, right? They play different music. They play different songs. Even if they're in the same genre, they sort of have a different style.
Right.
And so I think sort of that transitions to us because we all are living different lives. And we might, you know, be, I guess, quote unquote, pound for pound comparing, again, one thing that we do to another thing that someone does exactly the same. But we don't have the same life as them, right? So while we're doing similar things, we can't necessarily compare, you know, it's apples to oranges, really. So I guess, again, what we should do is be humble in our prayer. But that's a good point also, is that, you know, the power of honest prayer.
Yeah.
God doesn't need polished words. He wants honest ones.
Yeah. I mean, he knows us way better than we know ourselves.
Right.
You know?
It's sort of just our acknowledgement of like, hey, I understand that this is happening. Like, but you are already aware of this.
Right.
Like, no kidding. You're God.
Yeah, he didn't have to tell God all these things.
Right.
You know? But it's what's the heart behind it, you know, that was off. And so I think that's part of the lesson here.
Right. Yeah, that one song I think by Sarah Hart, Better Than a Hallelujah. I'm not sure the lyrics, but it's basically, let me look.
Yeah.
We pour out our miseries or something like that.
Well, I think
it's Amy Grant. Excuse me, Amy Grant. I'm sorry. Let's see. Mother's tears in the dead of the night, better than hallelujah sometimes. God loves the drunkard's cry, the soldier's plea not to let him die.
Yeah.
Better than hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries. God just hears a melody. Beautiful, the mess we are. The honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah. He wants honest words. He, you yep. know, I mean, praise is great,
mm-hmm.
but God's already God. Like, he doesn't really, I mean, well, obviously it's good for us to praise him, and we should praise him every time we pray, but sometimes those honest, that just, that intention of asking God is maybe what he wants more so than...
I think it's part of the what we do when we praise is we acknowledge God as God. And so I think that's actually part of it.
Right.
You know, that God is God and we are not. And we're actually praising God for that. you know, rather than self-praise like the Pharisee
yeah.
kind of does. So our praise help. I think it does help orient us, or it should. I think that's part of the point, is that it orients us in a proper perspective to God,
mm-hmm.
as the Almighty, but also the one who has looked upon us. I was just thinking, you know, that line when Pope Francis first became Pope, you know, and he did an interview, you know, and the interviewer was like, "Who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio?" And he goes, "A sinner who God has looked upon." And I always thought that was Bang. Just great, you know.
What a
and,
line.
And so it's sort of like this tax collector here. He recognizes himself as a sinner. He's hoping that God looks upon, and Jesus says he does,
yeah.
you know, as opposed to like God's gift to humanity, you know, like mm-hmm. the Pharisee thinks he is. So there's something to that. I think that's significant.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just, looking up, as I've mentioned before, the hand prayer method, mm-hmm. right? I don't know. I'm 29 years old, but it still actually works for mm-hmm. me. So I tend to use it. Mm-hmm. The first two fingers, if you're looking at it in terms of like how you should start, your thumb and your pointer finger, are praise and thanks.
Mm.
So that's how we, and then we say sorry, and then we ask things, and then if we have other things that we want to talk to God about, that's when we do that. But we start off with praise and thanks, but mm-hmm. also, again, sometimes that ask, you know, I've been in positions sometimes where I'm just like, not that I don't have the time, but, you know, something's happening, something big is going on, and it's like, I just need to ask God for, like, that's fine. That's exactly, that honest word is what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's interesting to sort of see how it all goes together. But
yeah, prayer needs to be the realm of honesty.
Absolutely. And in that spirit, Father, let's honestly pray right now.
I will try. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, just help us to recognize more who we are, and that if there's things in our life that need conversion, transformation, whatever it might be, that we have no need to fear your presence and your love, because you just desire the more for us, and that's why you came and do come continually in our lives. So we don't have to put on a show for you, but help us to honestly look where you need to continue to mold our minds and hearts to be more and more like yours. We love you, God. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love, in the Holy Spirit, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Father, thank you. Great show today.
Parker, thanks, everyone. God bless you. See ya.